Okay. Speaking with Noemi, last name?
Alix.
Alix, from France. Mm-hmm. And she talks about her couchsurfing and travel experience. Okay. Today is something like February 2016.
17.
Okay.
That's the new year,
no? Bonjour, Noemi.
Bonjour.
Okay. Please tell me, where do you come from currently?
So I'm from a small village, actually, really countryside, west of Paris. So it feels like an hour drive from the city, but it's really, really countryside. And I just grew up there, actually. Grew up in a goat farm. So my parents are actually farmers.
Goat farm girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I really grew up in the countryside.
Okay. And then what, you did a study or you did a
I studied until, like, just before university. So
okay.
In France, you usually, like,
bachelor
18.
Health.
We call this baccalauréat.
Yeah,
in
with 18 years old.
Yeah, so I was supposed to go to university, but then I took 1 year off.
Okay.
I went to Australia to learn English.
Okay.
But then
and
one more year...
You did not work on a goat farm in Australia?
No, I used to, I've been working in farms, like picking fruit.
Okay.
Yeah, but then that's all. Like, and then I had a car, I sold it, so I had money again, and I was like, I don't want to work. So so that's what I've been doing, just traveling around.
So you was around like 19 years old, you was in Australia?
I was 18.
18?
I was 18.
You had a car?
I had a car.
You had money?
A little bit of money.
So what happened?
You know?
What happened next?
I've been traveling all around Australia, so from Sydney, going all the way around the west coast, finishing in Darwin. Then I sold my car in Darwin, I had money again, because I was sort of broke. I flew to the east coast, which is Cairns and all the Great Barrier Reef, so because I really wanted to see it. And then I hitchhiked the way back to Darwin and I left from there, which is like in total it took me 10 months.
So you basically lived 1 year in Australia out of your pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
And worked only as much as necessary.
Yeah, pretty much. That was the idea.
And you learned English.
Yeah, my English was okay after that because I started from nothing to good.
How does Australian guys react to French girls?
They're all crazy about it. I don't know why, because of our accent or something like this. I mean, I was...
So you had a French accent?
Yeah, really strong, and I wasn't trying to make it better because it was just so easy. Like, I was going to any bar and I was telling everyone I was French and everybody was just coming down, hey, you want a drink? And I had only free drinks the whole time I was in Australia. I didn't pay for one.
So travel advice for French girls in Australia, cultivate your accent, you get free drinks.
Yeah, don't work out on your accent, just take it like as bad as you can.
Cool. Very cool. Okay, what happened next? You returned to...
I went back to France and I struggled to find a job because, the economy was pretty down at the moment. It was 2012.
And you was around 19 now?
I was 19 at the time.
Yeah.
I was born in September, so one more year. I found a job for a couple of months.
But you don't wanted to go to university or study something?
Because it was like, again, one more year. I went back home, it was December. So,
good timing.
You know, that was the worst timing ever. My mom was actually really mad at me, but whatever. That was sort of the idea.
So your parents suggested that you should do something with your life and learn something.
Yeah, like even like the last year, my mom asked me again, like, are you planning to do something? And I was like, not for now.
Okay.
So I worked for a couple of months and then I had a little bit of money and I was like, oh, fuck it, you know.
Can
I'm
I
just
ask
gonna
what
go.
You worked?
I was working in a, I don't know how to explain that in English. I had this, like yellow shirt, you know, and I had to, so I was like walking around the small villages to fill up a form because I had to ask people that was from the council, I had to ask people from, I don't know, I can't remember
so
what it was.
So you must umfragen, questionnaire.
Yeah. But
so
that was an official thing, so people knew that I was coming and I was supposed to stay just a couple.
Oh God, now I'm missing some keys. Okay, second part, Noemi arrived in New Zealand.
So I got to New Zealand from Asia. I was supposed to stay there for a couple of months, but then I decided I didn't want to go home, so I got a working holiday visa in New Zealand. I was living in Auckland for about 6 months, so working and living
there. And
there
you worked at this backpacker bar, which was a rowdy place, you say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was working in a backpacker bar, like a cheap one, cheap drinks, and like, idiots.
Idiots, why idiots? Can you explain?
Because they were just, yeah, people were just being rude when they were drunk, and they didn't really care about, like, you know, we were just like staff, so cheap drinks, meaning people getting drunk and being rude.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
And your job was to still serve them drinks?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just, I was just behind the bar. That's what I was, that's the only thing I was doing. Just
and
behind the bar.
It was your job also to tell them it's over, you can't, we cannot give you alcohol.
Yeah, so in New Zealand they have really like strict laws. You can't serve like alcohol to intoxicated people, so I had to refuse them. And
okay, and then and they get more angry at you.
Yeah, I told you I got called like a bitch, and just people were throwing glasses
on
my face.
So you quit.
So I quit. I quit.
And what was your next job in New Zealand?
So yeah, I was working in a cafe.
Yeah.
Like it was all insurance companies and stuff like this. So it was like regular customers. Like I was seeing them I was seeing the same people every day, every week. So I got like a sort of like friendship with them. And my job was to basically remember the orders and about a little bit about their life, you know, just
cool.
Yeah.
So it was paid for your social skills.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Nice. And you lived still at Couchsurfing, or you had an apartment?
So I was living in a hostel for about 5-6 months. So we were just like basically like a big family because we knew each other. Everybody was working, and we were just like a huge family.
So you had a nice time.
Yeah, I had an amazing time.
And all these jobs in New Zealand were official, so it was not such a
paid
flag. You paid your taxes and everything.
Yeah,
okay.
Everything was like a proper work, and taxes are actually really expensive in New Zealand. So.
What happened then? I think you are around now, you're 20 years old in New Zealand.
I think it was, it was 21.
21 already,
21
okay.
already, because after that.
Okay. And then you never get homesick and miss your goat farm and your parents and friends?
I was sort of homesick after 8 months, and it was getting Christmas, so I wanted to go home because Christmas is a really important part in my family, and you know, it's a real family thing, so I wanted to go home. And then I went to, so I stayed home for about a month, and I went to Burma.
Burma. Okay. And at home they don't suggest that you should now begin to study or something, or do something with your life?
My mom sort of stated. But then I was like, no, mom, no, maybe later, you know. But no, not now.
Okay. So why to Burma? You had
No, actually, because I met this American girl when I was in Sumatra in Indonesia, and she advised me to get to Burma as soon as possible, because it was just open. The country is open from 2011.
Okay.
And
people are
actually going there, and to see like the real.
So you were the first backpacker generation in Burma.
Before it changed.
Yeah,
you know? So yeah, I've been there, and I met amazing people.
Yeah.
People are really poor, but like the fact that they are really poor, usually they're really generous, and this is what happened in Burma.
Yeah.
They don't try to rip you off like in Bali, for example.
Yeah.
They're
not spoiled by too much.
No,
tourist,
not at all. They even run after you to give you back the change, which is like a cent, not even that. So it's like nothing.
And in Burma you was only tourist, or you was also working?
Just traveling around.
Okay,
just
no couchsurfing.
No couchsurfing.
Okay.
I wasn't really into couchsurfing that much, not that like now. So I was just staying in guest house and just taking the train, because it's really cheap anyway. So
So what happened after Burma?
So after Burma, what happened after Burma? Right, I don't even know. I don't too many places, you know. So I went back to New Zealand. Again, without much money, and I didn't want to stay in Auckland that time. So all my friends from Auckland, they actually moved to the South Island. There's this really touristic town. It's called Queenstown. It's by a lake, mountains around, and stuff like this.
Is this where they had the earthquake?
No, well, pretty close. Queenstown is like the middle of the South Island, and where they have the earthquake is called Christchurch.
The
town got completely destroyed, they were like, you know.
And is there a big difference from the people of the southern Iceland or New Zealand?
The whole New Zealand people are really like chill, and it's safe out there. I was hitchhiking around because I had not much money, so I was just staying for my hostel, because the couchsurfing is really, it's not really popular in New Zealand. There's not enough people. There's 4 million people living in the whole country. It's pretty empty, so there was just no one. So I was spending my money on accommodation and food and no transport, so I was just hitchhiking around. I even got picked up by the police, actually, because they just had nothing else to do. nothing is going on.
Traveling around French girls.
Like the guy just, he was really happy to pick up a French girl. So yeah, that's what was happening. And I got down to this town called Queenstown where all my friends were, and I was broke. I had literally about $20 or $30 dollars in my pocket.
Yeah.
And I found a job in 5 hours, which was just great.
What do you have to do here?
So I was working in a supermarket actually, because one of my friends told me they needed another staff for the next Monday, and it was Friday, and she was like, okay, you need to go now if you want the job.
Yeah.
So I went there, and yeah, I got on really well with the boss, so he just gave me the job.
And so it was a supermarket job, so you...
Like really easy job. It's such a touristy place that they needed staff that could speak different languages.
And so
he liked to hire backpackers because they were just staying and going whenever. So
and
his
job
really
came with accommodation or you...
No. So. I was living in a massive share house in this town actually. We were 19 people in the house.
Okay.
So it was like a sort of hostel, but like, you know, we were like, no one was checking out after us, we could just party all the time. We were not allowed to, but we did.
Yeah.
You know, just party all the time, pretty much, just working.
Sounds like you had a good life.
I had an amazing life. Great. I had really, really good time.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened?
So what happened?
Why you left? Why you here?
I stayed there for about, 5 months.
Yeah.
No, not even that. Maybe 4 months. But my visa was running out.
Ah, okay,
So actually I had to go home because my visa was over.
Yeah.
So I saved all my... I tried to save, like, between my parties and stuff, I tried to save my money. And I came back home with actually money, so it was good. And I found out that I could get a working holiday visa in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're in.
By this time you was 22?
That was... So basically last year, so I was 22, when I got to Russia I was 22.
Okay,
And so then I've been to, I struggled to get the visa because it was a 4 month visa. It wasn't 1 year. It depends
on tourist visa, visa that allow you...
My plan wasn't to work.
Yeah.
So because for French people we can only get a 1 month visa.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted a longer one because Russia is the biggest country in the world, so obviously takes longer to travel. And I dreamed about Russia for years. I don't know why. That's the biggest country in the world, but we don't know so much about it. That's why it's like really mysterious and stuff. So I just wanted to go. And I struggled to get a visa, like lots of paperwork, and it was really, really complicated, but finally got it.
Managed to do that from France?
Yeah. Because you have to apply for this kind of visa in the Russian embassy in Paris, only there. That was the only option. So I went there, and this is where I started really using couchsurfing a lot, because I wanted to get into like the real, like the culture.
Did you go to Paris or to Russia
From Russia. Yeah. So yeah, I got the plane to Moscow, and basically I started from there. So I stayed about a week in Moscow, then I went to St. Petersburg for a week.
All with couchsurfing?
Always with couchsurfing.
Yeah.
So in 4 months in Russia, I actually stayed about maybe 1 week, 10 days in a hostel
guest house.
Otherwise it was
all
only
couchsurfing.
Always couchsurfing. People are really into it, like Russian people really want to meet foreigners.
Uh-huh.
So every time I get a host in like a few hours, all the time, everywhere I mean. So yeah, basically St. Petersburg, then I went all the way to Murmansk, which is over the Arctic Circle. Yeah. I wanted to see Northern Lights, but didn't get lucky, too bad. And it was cold, it was starting to be really cold, it was like the beginning of December.
And how you make with the language? You come by with your English in Russia, or have you started learning Russian?
With my host it was okay.
Yeah.
I sort of knew like the basics of Russian language from school, because I took
Russian classes?
Yeah, I took Russian classes because we had actually a school trip to Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 15 when I got there, just for a week. I couldn't speak Russian actually.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the alphabet and that's pretty much it. So yeah, I went to Russia like without speaking much Russian.
Okay.
It's okay. You can manage.
You can manage.
You need to learn like a few words and to buy your train tickets. You just write everything you need on a piece of paper. You smile, you give your passport and this.
And generally you had the impression that people were friendly to you, especially as a Western tourist.
But like Moscow, not so much.
Okay,
because that's any big city pretty much.
Yeah.
St. Petersburg was more like relaxed, a lot more than Moscow.
Yeah.
And as soon as you pass Zira, when you get to Siberia, people are just amazing.
Okay.
I mean, so many generous people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's the total opposite of the idea we have of Russian people.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it was just great. Even in the train,
mm-hmm.
in the train, like people were offering me food and drinks, a lot of drinks, mm-hmm. way too much. Yeah, just because I was a foreigner, actually. People
yeah.
thought I was Russian, but as soon
there's
as
not
I
so
saw
much
them,
French girls around running there.
Well, there's not so much foreigners, and not in winter time.
Okay, so you were visiting Russia in winter.
Obviously, you know why? Because for me, Siberia means cold. I had this image, like anyone get the image, if I tell you Siberia, you're going to think straight away about the cold, right?
Yeah, of course.
So I wasn't planning to visit in summertime. This is the point, you know, and I wanted to see Baikal Lake completely frozen.
Yeah.
So that was the idea. So I traveled all the way to Vladivostok.
Wow.
Which is, so the passenger.
And how you traveled in Russia, you paid for the transportation or you also
train.
Hitchhiked the train? Okay.
Train. I hitchhiked once because I had to do it, but it was minus 18.
Oh, it's not
and,
fun.
And no, like you're really literally freezing your ass. Don't want to do that.
Do you learn, is there hitchhiking culture in Russia or is it better?
Yeah, it's quite, apparently in summertime it's sort of popular, but the distance are just huge.
Yeah, yeah.
So it makes it more complicated and people think it's not that safe. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But young people do it because they don't have money.
So, and then you you stayed a full visa time in Russia.
I was supposed to stay 3 months, so my visa was for 4 months, and I still had some money. So I was like, oh, you know what.
But you was not working in Russia, you were just spending.
People offered me jobs, like as an English teacher or French teacher in school.
Wow.
A lot of people told me, if you're running out of money, just get to the first school and you will get a job straight away. But it wasn't so much money, and I wasn't, my visa
you
was
had
just,
money.
I had sort of, not so much, but enough.
Cool.
But when I get back to Moscow, I had like only 200 euros left, and I missed my flight actually. It was after 3 months, and I just missed it. I couldn't change it because of whatever reason. And so I ended up in Moscow. I was like, okay, should I just buy myself a plane ticket or just cross Europe? Because basically there's no sea or anything like this. You can just cross overland.
Yeah.
So obviously I choose the second option because this is more fun. So 2 more weeks of traveling and. I went to Latvia. I found
go to the Baltic countries.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I went to Latvia because I wanted to visit Riga, actually.
Yep.
I found a host on couch surfing. He pretty much, basically, he showed me around the whole country in 3 days, which was just awesome. Really, really good experience. And then also because of couch surfing, I found this this guy. He told me that his mom was going actually all the way to Vienna. She was living in Vienna. And he said that if you want to, she can drop you off whenever you want to. So I was like, sweet, that's nice. So she dropped me off in Poland for free. Mm-hmm. So I get a lift for free. So in Poland, I stayed in Krakow, Warsaw.
This was 2016 now, you're speaking.
Yeah,
last year.
15.
15, still, okay.
Oh, no, 16, 15, that was the beginning of spring last year.
Yeah, okay.
About March, April. And then so crossed Poland as well, Czech Republic. I had one of my friends living in Prague.
Can I say that there would have been more direct ways home if you were watching, but you enjoyed
I really wanted to see a little bit of Europe. You know, I have not much money, but I was just hitchhiking and get hosted by people.
And
couchsurfing. So it was okay. It was okay, and I just wanted to see a few places. So I stayed basically 1 week in Poland, which I really enjoyed.
Yep.
That was like the culture is really. Really cool out there,
nice
lots
in
of
Poland.
History. I met actually a lot of foreigners in Poland, a lot of them, but I met a few Polish people, they were just, they were pretty cool as well, really, really cool. So, and then I hitchhiked to Prague, stayed about 5 days with my friend out there, and then she knew a guy, an American guy, who's living in Germany, so I got hosted in an American army base.
Wow.
That was in the past. Actually, stay 1 night in Germany, but I was in America.
Yeah.
Which was that was just a really good experience. You know, it's like a whole town out there and stuff. And I told him I was hitchhiking the next day to Strasbourg. So I was in Nuremberg the day. I was hitchhiking my way to Strasbourg. And
Strasbourg is back in France.
So back in France. Yeah. Because I wanted to stop there. People told me it was really pretty. I've never visited it. And I told the guys. So I was hitchhiking there, and he was sort of worried. He was worried.
Worried. Oh, okay.
Me just hitchhiking.
Yes.
And he asked me like 2 times, "Where are you going? Where are you going?" So I call him Strasbourg every time. And after 10-15 minutes, he was like, "Okay, I'll buy you a bus ticket." So he was really kind. He was really generous. He bought me a bus ticket to Strasbourg. And I was like, thank you, that's cool, you didn't have to do that, but, you know. So I ended up in Strasbourg. I got hosted by a really, really cool girl there
couch surfing
as well for about 2-3 nights.
This
I
was
think.
The first time you couch surfed in France, in your own nation?
Yeah.
How was
time.
That?
It was good. Like, the girl, she wanted to travel alone, but she...
Yep.
She never did it because she was scared, and
she wanted
to have to talk to somebody who actually did it.
So you give your travel experience
a lot of advice,
and she
was really happy about it. And then the next month she was actually going
to become a role model or something.
We just got on really well together, and then I was like, okay, I had how much? Maybe 20 euros left in my pocket, and I was like, I can't be bothered.
You were in Strasbourg, but you need to go to Paris. I think
that's
more than 20 euros.
You know, that's pretty much. And I found a bus ticket for 12 euros.
Oh, okay.
I don't like to hitchhike in France.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's my own country.
Uh-huh,
I don't
like
to do it. So I just get the train to Paris, and then I get the bus to Paris, and then I get a train to my home, and I call my mom. She came to pick me up.
And then you come home without money?
Without money.
Okay.
I had exactly 8.30 euros in my pocket.
And you were 22 years old, that was last year.
22,
without money, no education.
Pretty much, well, I could speak English.
Yeah,
you know, like,
okay.
Travel experience.
So, let me guess, your parents again suggested
my
you
mom,
should learn from.
My mom was sort of mad at me. She was like, what the fuck have you been doing, you know? And I was really lucky, I found a job in 3 weeks.
In your home area?
No, in the Alps. In France,
okay,
in the Alps,
okay.
So the French side,
yeah.
So really close to, actually 5 kilometers away from Geneva.
Okay, yeah, from
just
Switzerland,
really,
yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Really close to Switzerland. I've been working here for 6 months.
Okay.
And they provide me for accommodation.
So it does cost also money and living and food?
No food, but just accommodation.
Okay,
accommodation. I had a small studio for
and
me.
And it was also a tourist job?
Yeah, so I was working in a camping as a receptionist because they were looking for staff that could speak properly
English.
Exactly, so here we go.
French people really don't... That don't so good with English or
well,
don't like
well, apparently the last 2 years they hired a receptionist. The girl apparently were studying at university. They were supposed to speak good English and stuff like this, and they couldn't.
She had the degrees but not the skills.
Exactly. So
and you the other way around.
Exactly.
Okay.
But like people usually don't want to give me a job because I don't have the degree to prove my
level. Your passport with all these stamps served enough as a degree that you said I was in New Zealand.
Yeah. She gave me the job. Like my boss gave me the job
because of you not studying but traveling
in
history.
She saw that
I've
been living in English speaking country.
Nice,
so that was the main idea. And so I stayed there for about 6 months, saving up all my money.
Yep.
And now here I am, sort of. I went back home for about 2 weeks after that.
Yeah.
And I went to Holland because I visited some friends in Rotterdam.
Couchsurfing or direct friends? You
friends.
Had them already.
Yes,
okay, yeah,
friends. Actually, a girl in Amsterdam that
it was friend surfing.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
That I met in this girl in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. I met her in Malaysia.
Okay.
A few years back.
Okay.
So here you go. I was in Amsterdam.
So you visited friends and paid only for the transport, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I went to Scotland for 4 weeks. So I really wanted to travel Scotland. I met a man the last summer that he told me a lot about it. So I was actually, okay, I'm going to go to Scotland. So I've been there for a month. And then it was Christmas time,
and
so I just went back home.
And you were couchsurfing? I did it twice. Yeah.
Twice,
okay.
Because there's not so many people in Scotland
Like,
I wanted to go to the islands and stuff like
this. Yeah, yeah.
There's not many people.
So you made, like, normal tourists. You paid for a bed and breakfast or something?
Yeah, well, for hostels, but
also,
hostels are really expensive in Scotland.
Okay.
Traveling in Scotland is really expensive.
In Scotland you did hitchhiking or you...
A little bit, but it was cold.
Oh,
it was cold and I just couldn't be bothered.
Okay.
You know, I was just like, oh, I got some money, it's fine. So, yeah.
I don't know if we have that on tape. You said you had once in Germany or somewhere a hitchhiking experience where you hitchhiked exactly 1 minute for the first car stop.
Yeah.
Is this usually like that? That you get picked up really fast?
Yeah, I get picked up really, really fast. Like usually.
And just for our listeners,
5 minutes.
Those people who pick you up, they don't even can hear your French accent because they don't know that you have one.
They don't
one.
Know, yeah.
So it must be something else.
People think I look like, when I was in Russia, people thought I was Russian. I got a proper Russian face, but I couldn't speak the language. So I can fit pretty much anywhere. I had a lot of friends from South America in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
People thought I was Argentinian or Brazilian.
Okay.
And I just don't speak the language, so I was like, no. When I was in Holland, people thought I was a local.
So whatever they fantasize about, they projected into you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So because I don't have this really strong French accent that everyone has, and everybody think that I'm like a sort of local, or that I'm from like, you know, they think I'm from Europe, but they don't really know where. So all the time it's like Germany, because German people speak quite good English, Germany, Holland, all these kind of countries. I don't know why. But,
so your feet always in the category of girls we would pick up for the street and give a ride.
Well, pretty much. So nice. It's really, really easy for me to get a ride because I'm traveling alone. I get a backpack, so people can see that I'm actually really traveling. I'm a girl. I'm young. They're not scared. Like either couples, people with kids.
So you scare nobody.
Yeah.
The other way around, I think a lot of people ask you that. Is it not scary? What happens if you get picked up by a creep and then he try to sexually assault you or rob you or something?
I would say like that's life, sort of. You know, things.
But it never happened to you.
No, it never happened to me. And I mean, I can sort of like feel it if people are
not good.
You know, in a second, you see if you go on with the person or not, and I will refuse. Never happened before, and hopefully it's not going to happen. No, so far it's been just great. I met a lot of really, really good people. I hitchhiked over 8,000 kilometers now, either in Australia, in New Zealand, in England as well. I did it in France. So like this summer, last summer I was traveling a lot around France and Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And transport is just crazy expensive out there. So we're just hitchhiking.
So and never neither with hitchhiking nor with couchsurfing you had really creepy experiences.
Once.
Can you explain?
In Russia, I arrived really late at the guy's place. It was already like 10:30 or 11. It was minus 30 outside, and I felt really, really uncomfortable. I don't know, but I just felt so uncomfortable the way he was talking and stuff like this. I was really scared.
Is this like your host, couchsurfing host?
That was my couchsurfing host. And I mean, it was either he was either killing me, so hopefully I was like, hopefully he's not going to kill me. Either I'm just going to die outside because it's too cold. It's the middle of the night, my phone's going to die in a second because of the cold and stuff.
So what you did?
I actually slept with my taser. I have a taser. I slept with it. Nothing happened.
Okay.
Hopefully for me nothing happened, but I just left. I just left the next day. I was like, no, I'm
so,
not.
So, but objectively, besides of making a bad impression, he did nothing.
No.
So it was just you had a bad feeling.
I had a really, really bad feeling. I was actually scared. You know, that was the first time I was actually scared. So yeah, now I'm trying to be like really careful. But I mean, you never know. For me, it's like if something has to happen, it's gonna happen. Sort of. Sort of bad to say, but this is like to be like this. So.
But you would not this off chance that something happened bad to you. You would not swap that for the chance of not traveling. In your style of life.
What do you mean, like?
So you still travel. You still do couchsurfing. You still do hitchhiking because you
I trust some people. I trust that the world is not so bad. A lot, of good people.
Okay.
And sometimes maybe you're just gonna meet the wrong ones.
Yeah.
It happens. Okay. There's idiots everywhere, pretty much. But so far, I had really, really good experiences. People have been really, really generous to me.
And you like this experience?
I love it. I'm actually traveling because I love to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, I could afford, because I saved up like quite a lot of money last year, I could afford to pay for a hostel, pay for the train or the bus or the transport. But I'm just not going to meet anyone. Even in hostels now, you're not meeting that many people. You know, there's 10 people in the room.
Yeah.
You get in, you say hi, everybody's looking at you, but no one's entering. You just can't even make chat or anything like this. And couchsurfing is...
It's personal.
You're on couchsurfing because you want to meet people. So we already have a like sort of like thing in common with my host. So, you know, with the people like I'm going to share a moment with you.
So you actually meet people who are not looking in their smartphone, but in your eyes and speaking with you.
Exactly. Just
strange for your generation.
It is, right? It is, because people are just stuck on their phones all the time, and I'm feeling that this is wrong. I mean, if you want to meet people, well, just go for it, share a coffee or something like that.
Okay, and right now you're traveling Europe, and we will hopefully have another record where you talk in my next 2 years. Can you just say from the perspective now, you're now just
23.
And you now non-stop traveling science?
Well, not non-stop.
Mostly traveling science.
So
basically, since you're 18.
Basically, yeah.
I've been short breaks like, to work to fill up your
working, traveling, working, traveling. It's like the story of my life, sort of. So it's been 5 years. At the beginning of the year, in January, it's been 5 years.
But I'm mostly interested how you deal with your parents. Don't people say, look, you should probably get a degree and something?
I think they give up.
My daughter travels.
Yeah,
will work in the travel industry.
They're actually pretty proud of this, you know, saying like, yeah, my solution in this country or this one.
Okay, so they accepted
your style. Yeah, I learned a lot because of traveling. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot more than I would have done if I was going to university, for example.
Yeah.
I would never get like that level of English.
By doing.
I learned a lot about people, a lot about the world, about myself as well.
Yeah.
I used to be really shy and now I'm not anymore.
You're not in, okay.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't speak to you like this, probably not. So yeah.
Also, you make a very optimistic impression about your own future. So you're very sure you will find some job related to the travel industry.
Yeah,
if you really
want to, you can.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have a European passport. I can pretty much work anywhere I want in Europe. Even if in France is really bad right now, we can't really find that many jobs. And you can just get you another place. Just go somewhere else. I think it's easy to say that, but it's also easy if you really want to just get out of the place, find another place to live out there for a few months, and that's all.
Can we go back to the time when you was not traveling, when you was like 16 years old or so? Do you already dream from traveling back then?
Okay. Yeah, a lot. I dreamed about travels a lot. Like,
and
the
I guess
only
you
thing I
traveled with your
was
parents
was
something.
Family
actually, vacation.
My parents, they really like to travel. My dad, he's always going to Madagascar. That's his country. He loved it. I've never been there, but I will go someday. And my mom as well. So when I was younger,
in the family.
Sort of. Yeah, we really like to go overseas and discover things like this. So I've been to Greece, Italy, Dominican Republic with my mom.
But you know, from a pretty young age, that as soon as I'm finished with school, I will go traveling, or was it not?
I wanted to, but I was sort of like too shy to talk about it. And actually, when I told my parents that I wanted to take 1 year off between my travels, and I wanted to learn English, my dad, he knew some people that actually, their nephew or their son, the kids or whatever, they did a working holiday visa overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me about either Australia or Canada.
Okay.
I had a look about that, and my dad was really supportive because of this. So actually, I left because of my dad, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
He really, my parents are always like behind me, telling me if you want to do it, just do it.
They supported you a lot,
which is really nice.
Have you any, I think this podcast will not have many 16-year-old girls listening, but in case they are, have you any advice for them, like if you're young and shy and still in school?
Go for it, go for it. The world is not that bad and people will help you a lot.
Yeah.
It's amazing how
especially
people
if you have a friend at them.
Maybe there's the reason, but especially for a girl, I think people are really, they're not scared of you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and they,
do you look harmless?
They really want to try to protect you, to help you, probably a lot more than if I was a guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because people have this idea of a guy, usually he can deal with things, he can deal with problems, he can deal with people, and a girl, no, it's sort of we're like the little fragile thing, even if we're not. I know I'm confident enough, I can... if people come to bother me, I'll just tell them to fuck off and done, you know? But at the beginning, it wasn't that easy. Now I know what to do. I know how to deal with people. And I learned a lot about that. So I'm I look confident enough. People don't come and bother me.
So generally, you can advise your lifestyle of traveling. If you're young, do it.
Yeah, if you really want to do it, just go for it. I mean, and if it doesn't work, you just go home. That's all. And go study, exactly. Well, I was planning to do it, think about what I want to do. Because people, life is supposed to be like that. We're now in, our society, we're supposed to go to university, then get a degree, find a good job, get married, have kids. That's sort of the way to live. But I don't want that for now. Maybe later I will be I want to settle down. I'm just tired of this kind of life, just moving around all the time. Maybe I will. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see.
Mamis, merci beaucoup for this interview.
Merci beaucoup. Au revoir.